Hello everyone. Welcome back to day 3. I feel like I'm rushing through these intros and I have no reason to, so I apologize for that. How did you all like yesterday's episode? My interview with Mike? If you haven't already, definitely go check it out. He has the most interesting story to tell about his experience at a Warren's lecture when he was just 15. So, how is everyone's spooky season going? It's now Friday, October 27th. This day is a little hard on me, but I'm trying to stay in good spirits. I said goodbye to my great Dane Anubis a year ago today. It's hard to believe it's been a whole year without him when I spent nearly 12 years with him by my side. But Neptune, my new Great Dane puppy, came into my life about 6 months ago now, and he is growing into such a handsome, massive, good boy. He keeps me laughing and keeps me on my toes, not to mention the early mornings and all the bruises. Having a Great Dane is quite dangerous, to be honest. I've suffered many a black eye and busted lip, and so many bruises. But they're my absolute favorite dogs, and I'm so grateful to have had them in my life. Speaking of dogs, I made a friend about this time last year who also has a mad affinity for dogs. She even fosters them as often as she can while they wait for their forever homes. I admire that in a person so much. Animals are the most precious part of life, and I know the Warrens agreed. You know, there's not many things the Warrens and I agree on. So anyways, back to Tori. About this time last year, my good friend Cassie and I, shout out to Cassie, she's a huge fan of the podcast, and we also went to see A Haunting in Venice recently for Friday the 13th, such a good movie. She's my dear friend from school way back when, and now she lives far away, but we've been trying to hang out more when she visits. So shout out to her, love you lady. So we decided to go on this ghost tour in downtown Nashville. I'd been before, but it was almost 20 years ago now. But I remember having so much fun. So we book this tour, and show up, bundled for the cold and the trek through downtown, and look for our tour guide and group. We spot our tour guide, or she spots us rather, and then we learned we were the only two people to book the tour that night. So basically we got a private tour with the coolest ghost tour guide ever. Nashville is such a historically haunted city, and Tori did the best job telling us all about the haunted history. So naturally, I had to invite her to be on the show. So please welcome Tori, my new friend and Nashville ghost tour guide. Welcome to my podcast. Would you please introduce yourself and also tell the listeners how you and I met?
Yeah, my name is Tori Criswell, and I've been a Nashville ghost tour guide for over a year, and you and I met when you came on one of my tours. It was just you and one of your friends that you had a private tour, and it was super fun. I remember that tour very well, and we had a really good time.
Yes, we had so much fun. We were so excited to show up and be the only ones. We thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
And that's my friend Cassie, and she's actually just arriving back in town tonight, and we're going to try and do another one, see what we can find.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so what got you into being a ghost tour guide?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I've always been into the spooky stuff, right? And I also just really love storytelling. Like, I love a good story, whether it's a podcast or a book or a movie. And I think like oral storytelling is just super cool, how we tell each other stories. And so I just happened to be like looking for an evening job, just like, you know, a little side hustle. And I thought, well, maybe I could do something downtown. And I was looking online and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not run a pedal pub. I can't deal with the craziness. But then I saw a post for a ghost tour guide and I was like, ooh, that sounds right up my alley. And so I applied. And I got it. And a lot of the people close to me, so I told them, oh, I got this new little gig as a ghost tour guide. They're like, oh, that is perfect for you. So, yeah, it was just kind of like a fun little thing that happened.
I love that. That is so awesome. I've always wanted to do it, but I'm really bad at memorizing scripts. And I feel like if I was doing it on the spot every night, even though I know the information, I would just say it backwards and wrong and confusing. And every time I do an interview, I have to write down names I need to remember because I will say them wrong.
Yeah, it's definitely like a hard thing to pick up on. But what I actually did to like help myself learn the stories, and this is what I tell like when I was training new people, I would actually record myself reading the stories. And then I would just listen to it over and over and over again, like it was a podcast, until I had learned the stories. And then when I first started, it was kind of like just telling my friends, oh my gosh, you have to hear what happened at this house. Like, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually it's just saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, that's a really good idea to record yourself.
Yeah, and honestly, every night is different. Like every night we get a little bit of different activity. People join the tours with a different level of skepticism, whether they believe in the paranormal or not. So yeah, every night's different.
Oh, for sure. What would you say the percentage of skepticism is versus believers on each tour?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say most people are believers in the paranormal. And I feel like even the people who say that they're skeptics, I don't think they're really always skeptics. I think they just don't want to see anything. They're just like
Yeah,
too
I can.
scared.
Yeah, for sure. I can agree with that. In my experience on tours, whenever my mom and I or my friends and I go, we're really strong believers. And then if there's skeptics in the group, you can tell that they just kind of go into themselves a little bit because they don't want to be scared that much.
Being a skeptic is kind of like a safety net, and so I feel like it's like that for most people. Or people are like, I call them paracurious.
Yeah,
They're
paracurious
they
is a
have a
great word.
healthy yeah they have a healthy level of skepticism,
Yes.
where they're not going to say yes, they're not going to say no, but they're not into like the cheesy jump scare type stuff, and I respect that.
Yes, and that's more of what I am. I like mostly believe, but I'm the more I do this podcast, the more skeptical I get. But that's why I did the podcast so I can weed out what's worth believing. And so when I get on, like when, especially when I go on a tour, I want so badly for something to happen. I kind of let go of my skepticism just a little bit because I want to see something so bad. But in the back of my mind, I always have that, well, maybe not.
Right, exactly.
That's awesome. So, what has been your favorite experience as a ghost tour guide?
I have so many great experiences as a tour guide. One of my favorite encounters has been with Margaret, and Margaret is a spirit who haunts a bar on Second Avenue in downtown Nashville. And she is a victim of domestic violence. Her partner either killed her or pushed her down the stairs, and she was found dead at the bottom of the staircase. Ever since then, the bar has just had a lot of trouble. There's been a lot of poltergeist activity, and it's been abandoned now for a number of years. And myself and a lot of the other ghost tour guides think that that's because of the spirit of Margaret inhabiting that place. But there's a street light on the back side of the bar that faces the alley, and there's a few street lights down that alley, right? And the one right outside her bar will flicker, and it will sometimes even react to the story. But she's selective. She always likes the newest tour guide. So when I first started, she was super active for me. And then one day she just kind of stopped messing around with the light. And I asked one of the other guides, and he said, well, it's because we have new ones now. She probably does it for them. But I have a few favorite encounters with her. Once was we had a group of kids that were here for like a hockey tournament, and they were probably like in fourth or fifth grade. And so they were all real spooked, and they were asking Margaret questions, and they were yelling at her, and they said, Margaret, did Jerry kill you? And in that instance, the light turned off, and they were running all around the alley screaming. So that was hilarious and just so much fun. And then there was another time too where it was actually the Day of the Dead, the day after Halloween. So veil was still super thin, and I brought a couple of the spirit's flowers, and I put them down at a few of the different locations, and her light was actually off. And the second I put down the flowers, I heard my guests gasp. I said, what? And they said, the light just turned on. I looked up, and the light was on right above me. So those have been some of my favorite experiences for sure.
That's awesome. I love that. So I have a question for you. When you have skeptics on the tour, do they question this or do they automatically go, "Oh my gosh, is that real?" Or like what are your reactions on that one from skeptics?
So a lot of times skeptics look for a way to justify it. So they'll start to look at the other lights in the alley, and they'll say, okay, are the other ones flickering? Why is it just this one? And so they kind of start to do these mental gymnastics. But I do have a lot of pictures that I show as well, and those ones are a little bit harder for them to disprove. So I have had skeptics on the tour, not really admit that they changed their mind, but I can see that the wheels are turning, and I see the eyebrows start to raise. And yeah, I'd be happy to send you those pictures too, because
That
they
would be
definitely
great. Yeah, I
look
can share those on the social media. And I love moments like that when you can tell people are starting to question their own mind. Like, I really like that. That's fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people hesitate to admit that their minds are totally changed, but I think that the wheels start turning.
I agree. A lot of people are too stubborn to admit, but they definitely get more interested.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. How long have you been interested in the paranormal?
Oh, forever. I would say I was afraid of it for a really long time. I actually hated watching scary movies. I still do to an extent. I have my limits. I love a good, like, slasher, thriller, mind bender, but the ghosts and the demonic stuff freak me out.
That's so really funny.
Yeah, so I was raised Catholic, and so, you know, there's definitely like an air of evil. You know, you have the good and then you have the evil. So the way I was raised, I was very aware of all of the darkness, right? And mm-hmm. So I was always afraid of the paranormal. I was always afraid of encountering it. But actually, you know, doing the ghost tours has helped me a lot with my own spirituality, to kind of learn that you don't have to be afraid of the paranormal. There is a lot of light. And there's also a lot of agency with these spirits. They're not always trapped in a particular place. They can kind of come and go. They can choose how they interact with you. And that's actually given me a lot of comfort. I would say it's just something I've always been curious about, but something I more recently felt comfortable with exploring.
Oh, I love that. I love that's so cool that being the tour guide brought that to you.
Yeah.
So what initially switched you from being not so afraid that you could explore it more?
Oh, that is such a good question. I think part of some of it's been my family. There are some folks in my family who have mediumship abilities. And as those like abilities kind of grew, I started to become less afraid of it, you know, just from talking with them. So that definitely made me less afraid of the paranormal. But also, like, I definitely have had spooky experiences outside of the ghost tour guide stuff. And then once I started doing the guiding, it was like, oh, these are just stories. And it actually felt more like honoring the spirits than being scared by them. Like, telling the truth about their lives and the tragic ways that they passed and not sugarcoating it. You know, I don't sugarcoat it when I talk about how Margaret passed away and how she was a victim of domestic violence. I don't sugarcoat it when I talk about the bombing on Second Avenue, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, like, just facing them as stories and keeping in mind, like, any of these paranormal people that we're talking about were real people. You know, they're not just spirits. They were, like, real people with families and stories and loved ones. Like, just humanizing it made me a lot less afraid of the paranormal.
I love that so much. That's so great, because I think a lot of the time, especially like with the type of content I cover, a lot of it's based, well, not based on, but a lot of it revolves around the films that were created about it. And a lot of people forget that hauntings don't just happen. They don't just metastasize out of nothing. They come from a history. And that's what I love about getting on and telling the truths about the stories, because a lot of the truths are the history and they get left out.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're complex histories, right? Yeah. Like, there are so many different factors that go into the histories of these stories. And it's just so fascinating to, like, learn all of the context around the haunting.
I love that. Yes, I agree so much. So have you had any you did say you've had some paranormal experiences outside the tour. Do you want to tell us one of those?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have a few. I know you said that you are collecting Ouija board stories, so I could tell you a Ouija board story.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'm going to do a little special for Halloween at the end of the month.
Oh, my God, I love it. Okay, well, I'll tell you two. I'll tell you a Ouija board story, and then I'll tell you one about when I was growing up. So,
perfect.
I'll tell you the Ouija board story first. I was camping with some friends when I was in college, and I grew up in Michigan, so we were on prior indigenous land on the west side of the state around a place called Manistee. And we were camping in somebody's backyard, and they would camp there every year. And they had told me, like, oh, in previous years, we thought we saw somebody walking into the house. And then they glided away, and then we found somebody's iPod broken in the woods, right? So, like, they'd had a little bit of experiences, and this time, my friend's little sister, like, this is, like, horror movie stuff, right? My friend's little sister had been, like, playing with the Ouija board a lot, so we were all like, oh, let's play with the Ouija board. So we get out with the Ouija board, and we're all sitting in a circle, and I remember my boyfriend at the time, he was like, I'm not doing it. He's like, I'm not going down there, and he went somewhere else. So there was, like, maybe, like, five of us, including his twin brother. And they had the same initials, okay? So they both had their initials, J-A-K. And we're all sitting in a circle, and we start asking questions, and, I mean, this, the planchette is moving. Like, we're not doing it. It was moving on its own accord. And my friend's little sister says at one time, she even goes, you can ask questions without saying them out loud. Like, you can ask the spirits questions in your head. And we started doing that. And I remember the person next to me, he said, okay, I'm going to ask it a question. And, I mean, it knew names, it knew things like that. And so it starts moving, and it moves to T-O-R. And I feel like it's going to spell my name. Like, maybe he had asked, like, who is sitting next to me. But instead of spelling Tori and going to I, it goes to the N, and it spells torn. Mm. And we said, what did you ask it? And he says, I asked how it likes being spirit. And one, just like, what a chilling thing. What a chilling answer.
Seriously,
right?
That's such a deep answer.
Yes, it's torn. But two, that proved to me that we were not subconsciously moving this planchette around.
Yeah, right? Because, like, no one else could know the question.
Exactly, yeah. And I had anticipated moving the planchette in one direction, and it went to another. So, like, that was just proof to all of us, like, we are not doing this. There is something here. But we did identify a few different spirits. But you never really know if they're being honest with you or not. Mm-hmm. And one did say, you know, we said, should we be afraid of this one spirit that was identified? And she said, yes. And we said, is she going to hurt us? And she said, no. But we were all very confused. And then, and then we made the mistake of asking, who should be worried? And it's spelled J-A-K.
So, oh, my gosh.
So my my friend, my boyfriend at the time, his twin was up all night. He could not sleep. And he told us after we left, he was like, yeah, I was trying to be really brave. He's like, but I was really scared. So he was also the one whose iPod was broken the year prior.
Oh.
So it was just a little bit of spooky ookiness. So that is my Ouija board story. But another story I have just about, like, growing up and experiencing this type of stuff. When I was a kid, probably around 11 or 12 years old, I felt like I was starting to see the spirit of an old man throughout different points of my house. Always peaceful. He would just be, like, sitting in an armchair or something. But it was always like, as soon as I would walk past him, I would notice him out of the corner of my eye, he would disappear, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, 11 and 12 years old, that's when you and all your girlfriends are playing light as a feather, sticking to the board, you know, kind of exploring all those witchy things that society tells you not to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so I would kind of try and communicate with him, but I never got anywhere or anything like that. But I would see him for a while. And I didn't tell any of my family about it because I thought I was just being weird. And when I got older, I heard my brother telling some of his friends, oh, I want to do a Ouija board in the house. I said, why? You think the house is haunted? And he said, yeah, I do. Oh. I said, well, why is that? And he goes, well, I used to see something here, you know, when I was around 8 or 9, which was the same exact age difference. Like, that's when I was seeing the spirit. And so I said, okay, on the count of three, tell me what you saw. And I said, old man. And he said, old guy. And we just looked at each other. And I was like, describe him. And we both described the same exact person. My mom thought we were playing a joke. But then my dad goes, ooh, you better ask your aunt what your cousin used to see in this house. So then, of course, we have to ask about that. And I said to my aunt, what did she used to see when we were a kid? And she says, well, I just remember having to walk around the neighborhood because she was afraid of the old guy.
Oh, that's so cool that, like, three different confirmed sightings. That's really neat.
All around the same age too.
Oh, wow.
But it was wild because these were all different, like, confirmed sightings of the same guy. We didn't even talk about it until years later. So So yeah, I think, and that was another thing where my mom's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't
want to
know.
Yeah, my grandparents currently live in a house that me, my brother, and my mom are 100% sure has activity, but they always say, nope, not haunted. You guys are silly. You're full of it. Stop screwing around. Like, that's not funny. That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And my mentality now is like, well, if there is something, I don't need to be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I can set my boundaries and say, you know, you are not welcome to interfere with me.
Yes.
But, you know.
Yes, whatever. And we do that too now. When we were younger, my brother and I were terrified of it, and my mom's always been really good at handling it. She's had the most experiences of all of us, but we've all had our chance at being completely alone in the house for a few days at a time and have learned how to set the boundaries and deal with it better, and now we're not afraid so much anymore.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. All right, so have you ever been on a paranormal investigation?
Oh, such a good question. I've never actually been on a formal investigation. I've gone on other tours that I haven't led, and we have equipment that I take on the tours. So, like, I've done some, like, of my own, just like, okay, let's go in this area and bring out the EMF detector. I've, like, walked around cemeteries on Halloween night with EMF detectors, but I've never been on an official investigation.
That's right. I remember the tools. Cassie and I use them. I'll have to post pictures of those. But, okay, so you've never been, have you ever been to any notorious haunted locations? Whether, since you weren't investigating, did you go just to visit any?
Yeah, I've been to the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
It is so awesome.
Yeah, I was there for a business trip, and I had a free day, so I was like, let me check this out. And we did get a little bit of activity. It wasn't a haunted tour. It was just a regular tour. But when we were down in the basement where people usually see a spirit, there was, like, a flickering light in the back corner, so that was kind of creepy. But I've been to the Winchester Mystery House. I have been to the prison in Philadelphia. I can't remember the exact name. I've been there, and I've been in New Orleans. The whole town of New Orleans is super haunted. But then next up, actually in just a few weeks, I'm going to the Stanley Hotel, which is the inspiration for The Shining.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about that.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going there for a wedding, and it's a family wedding, so I'm like convincing my family to go on this ghost tour with me, so
heck
it
yeah.
Should be pretty fun.
You should look into, I think they have some, I'm not sure if this one does or not, I always get my information confused, of course, but they might have specific rooms you can go check out or even stay in, I think.
They do, yeah, you're right, they do.
That would be so cool.
Could be something to look into.
Yes,
yeah.
And if anything happens, I want to hear about it, and we're going to share.
You got it. I will definitely let you know.
Awesome. So if you were given the opportunity to go on a legitimate, say, overnight tour in a very haunted location, would you do it?
Yeah, I think I would.
Awesome.
I think I would.
That's
okay. I think it also depends, though, on what the location is.
Okay, that's fair. There's a couple I would say no to and a couple I would say yes to, so that's fair.
Absolutely.
Would you go on an overnight to the Conjuring House in Rhode Island?
Hell no. Probably not. No.
Yeah, that one tends to get a lot of feedback on stuff really happening. I would love to go, but I would be petrified.
Yeah, doesn't the family that own that house, I think that the teenage girl has a TikTok. Is that the Conjuring House?
Yes, she does. And she posts stuff all the time. And some of it I think is kind of silly. And some of it I'm like, oh, she's really getting some stuff over there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm good just watching from afar. I'm good. I've actually never even seen the Conjuring movies. Like earlier, you know, you asked about that. Like, you know, have I always been interested in this stuff? I've never seen the movies. I'm familiar with the story, and I've, like, listened to a ton of podcasts about it, and I've been listening to your podcast about it, so I'm familiar, but I've never watched the movie. So I think if I can't even handle the movies, definitely can't handle overnight.
That's fair. Yeah, the movies honestly scared the crap out of me. Even though I know what's real and what's not as far as the history, it still scares the crap out of me. I love to watch it every year for the scare it gives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. for sure.
So then, do you know who the Warrens were? Do you know much about them if you do know who they were?
Yes, I am familiar with the Warrens. And yeah, like I said, I listened to a few podcasts about them. It's been a while since I've listened to anything about them, besides your podcast, you know, and I really like the perspective that you're taking of like, okay, these folks are like notorious for basically creating paranormal investigation, but how much of it is real and how much isn't? You know, it's
Yes.
like the spiritualist movement and those sisters, I think their
The
names were
Fox
Fox
sisters,
sisters.
yes.
Yeah.
We just
Yeah, and
did a
like
fun thing
yeah.
based on, really excited to share that.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to see it. But yeah, it's like everyone was so spooked by them and bought into it. And then it's like they were a fraud. And then you don't hear anything about it. You just hear all the lore of seances, right?
Yeah,
So.
people forget about how they came forward and admitted it, how certain people debunk them. And then also, not only did they come forward and admit it, but they tried to retract when they got really broke so they could try to get back into money making on it. So I find that pretty funny. It seems like it's a long standing tradition to fake it as long as you can and make as much money off of it as you can.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, just with my own bias, I would like, if you want my opinion on it,
Yes.
I would like to think that the Warrens were not faking everything. I could see that they were playing up a few of the hauntings and maybe doing some exploitation there, but I would like to think that their research in demonology has protected a lot of people from evil, right? Like,
Yeah.
I would like to believe
I
that.
feel
So,
very
you
similar.
know.
Yes. When I the more I look, so I tell this to a lot of my guests. When I went into this, I had one opinion and it was not a good one of the Warrens. And I was sort of hell-bent on making sure I shared the evidence that backed my own opinion. And the more research I do, the more I go back and forth with how I feel about them as people and how I feel about them as paranormal investigators, because they go back and forth with their involvements, the way they present, like each case, they get into it differently and they have their own personal feelings on it, I think, that come through, because you'll see them really, really adamant about one case and then you'll not see them so involved in another, and then you hear things about how that case was faked a little bit. So I think there's a big split down the middle of, like you said, I think they started out with the good intentions, and the more they did it, the more they experienced fakers, and the more they realized how easy it was to fake it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's validity in that. And, you know, part of me also feels like if their intention starting out was, well, let's fake this and make a lot of money, there are a lot of other scams that you can get into to make a lot of money that like
Right?
aren't so scary. Like, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, this is like some real stuff. If, you know, if you do believe in demons and darkness and stuff, like this is like real stuff. And so, you know, I am glad that we have like their museum that has Annabelle. Like, I'm glad that Annabelle is not running around. Like, I'm glad that she's protected. So there are good things I see from their legacy, but I do also see where they exploited people.
Yeah.
At certain points.
For
Yeah,
sure.
it's complex. It's complex. That's why I'm glad that you're doing this podcast so we can learn all about it.
And the more I learn, the more questions I have, and I really enjoy asking all the questions. I need to know the answers, and if I can't find them, I'll just keep looking. And so each time I cover a case or each time I have a guest, I learn something new. I get a different opinion that, can assist my own opinions, change them or confirm them, however, whichever way that goes. And I love the discussion on it because there's a billion opinions in the world, and you might have a similar opinion to someone else, but you're going to differ eventually. And so I like that everything can be covered so everyone can make their own, like I said, educated guess. I've said that before. And I think it's important to not decide anything until you have all the evidence. And when you don't have all the evidence, you shouldn't be making firm decisions or declarations.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, and I think that's what makes the paranormal so fun, is that you will never really know.
Yeah,
You will,
exactly.
there can be multiple opinions, and you can talk about these opinions and these perspectives forever, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think that's why people get so interested in this stuff, because it is like the ultimate mystery.
Agreed.
You know, what else is out there?
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that you're glad Annabelle is locked up. So you do believe in Annabelle?
I do believe in Annabelle, yes.
That's great, because I personally do not, and I have, I've had a couple guests. Yeah. Well, this is a recent thing. I don't normally declare a solid yes or no opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, normally I leave it very open, because I'm not the one to make that decision, I feel like it's very arrogant mm-hmm. to say what's real and what isn't when you don't have proof. And so mm-hmm. with Annabelle, the research and recent interactions I've had, which I will be doing a very special episode on, so I will eventually come out and explain to everyone why I've become so definitive in my decision to not believe in her anymore. So I find that it's fun for me, because I did believe in her and I was very wary of her, and just recent things have just completely pushed me over to the other side, where I don't fear her at all anymore. I think her story is an epic tale, and I think that's where it ends.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear your research.
I'm so excited to share.
I love hearing all sides of it. With my knowledge, yeah, I'm like, whew, keep me away from that doll, right? But
yes.
If there's more to the story, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, and it's really funny too, because it's actually what isn't there to the story that has pushed me to mm-hmm. not believe anymore. Because there's all these things that people say, and I have been very, very diligent at going as deep as I possibly can. Like, I've paid for websites to look up stuff just to get the information. And I was recently told how to confirm or disprove a specific story, and that will be in the episode, and I'm very, very excited to share that.
Ooh, interesting. I mean, we could just go visit her. We could go seek.
Well, I was given the opportunity to do that. So after my episode and my reveal, if that offer happens to still be on the table, I'm going to try and accept it and go see her.
Sweet.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Good. Well, now, do you believe in, like, Robert the doll or any of the, well, I guess it's not a Warren.
Well, so that's the thing. I do, and I am very fearful, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say fearful, I would more wary and respectful mm-hmm. of every other doll story I've heard. I've heard...
Yeah.
But that's because of the testimonies. The testimonials
right.
are abundant and findable and tangible. Like, people have written in actual letters with, you know, things that have happened to them, with proof of things that have happened to them. Annabelle doesn't have that.
Interesting.
All Annabelle has is the stories from the Warrens, Tony Spira, and recently all the YouTubers that have been invited into the museum to make content. And if you watch those, they are petrified of Annabelle.
Yeah. And they probably also get a lot of money from being petrified.
So, yeah, there's a lot of discussion on that too. So, yeah. And so that leads me to my next question. How do you feel about ghost hunters, paranormal investigators, and the enthusiasts that are portrayed on TV shows?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. I actually don't really watch a lot of those shows. I've watched a few, like, with Taps. I do think that they try to sensationalize a lot of these stories and investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather watch a show that just, like, tells me the story than goes in and actually, like, hunts. You know, I feel like there's more hunting
yes.
than actually storytelling.
100% agree.
And I also think that a lot of these hunts kind of leave out the humanity and the context of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading a book. It's such a good book. It's called Invisible Women. And it's actually, I can grab it right here and give you the authors. Okay, so it's called A Haunted History of Invisible Women, True Stories of America's Ghosts. And it's by Leanna Renee Heiber, I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, and Andrea James. But it is such a good book, because it talks about those, like, investigations and how they provoke these spirits instead of respect them. And a lot of these spirits become spirits because they died in a tragic way, right? Yes. Like murder, domestic violence, abuse. And like, if we're not giving that the respect it deserves, then we're just exploiting them.
Exactly. Right? So, yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's how I feel amazing about the show.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so good. It's like one of the best books I've ever read.
I'm going to find the link for it and I'll put it in the show notes for this. And I'm definitely going to have to read it myself. That sounds amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. And it's written by two ghost tour guides.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can.
They got together and they wrote this book.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Oh, they got together and they wrote this book.
That is really cool. I might have to reach out to them and see if maybe they might be interested in being on the show. I love having all the perspectives of different people. So.
Yeah, do it. That would be so cool.
I love interviewing too. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
Oh, thank you.
It just feels like chatting with a friend about like spooky stuff.
I love that. Yay. And I think the listeners really like that too, when there's a good engagement versus just like cut and dry question and answer.
Yeah, for sure.
Alrighty then. So how do you feel about, now that we've established how you feel about the TV ones, how do you feel about YouTube and other social media outlets and their takeover with paranormal investigations and all these crazy videos that you see people posting?
Yeah, that's a good one. I guess it kind of depends, like, you know, because like the TV shows, you know, it's just for ratings and production value. And I guess like some of the YouTubers can be like that to an extent, but I tend to support more like independent investigators. And I think it all depends on their approach. If they're going out there trying to provoke these spirits or trying to mock these spirits, I'm never going to support, you know, that.
Yes.
But if they're going out there like trying to pursue the truth, treating these spirits with respect, I'm all for that. I actually had somebody on my tour who was scoping out Nashville for her independent ghost tour show or paranormal investigator show. And the show is called Ghost Hunting Beauties.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah, it might also be something you can reach out to. Yeah. She came on my tour and I thought that was awesome because I think it's just really good to see a lot of different representation in paranormal investigation because, you know, if I can get on my feminist soapbox for a second, women have such a close relationship with mediumship, mm-hmm. And being attuned to the paranormal. But a lot of the shows that you're seeing are male dominated.
Yes.
You know, it's not women leading these investigations. And so, you know, I don't follow a lot of the YouTubers, but I do see a lot of like couples or things like that. And I think that just gives us a little bit more variety and a little bit more representation when it comes to investigation. So I like all the YouTubers.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I'm not, I follow a couple that I really like, but I'm not a big fan of, like you said, the sensationalizing ones where they just get silly mm-hmm. and do it for the views. But I find mm-hmm. those more in my research than I find legitimate ones. So I'll come across legitimate ones, but they're not talking about the Warrens cases.
Interesting.
I find that very, and also, to further that, I don't think, so a lot of these YouTubers are very young, like they're in their late teens, early 20s, and they're learning about these Warrens cases because they're being given the opportunity to go to places like the museum, and so they're immediately scared because they don't know the backstories, they haven't looked into it yet, and their leader is like the person they're getting their information from when they do anything involving the Warrens is Tony Spira, who is in charge now. And that's mm-hmm. actually Ed and Lorraine's son-in-law, their daughter's husband. And mm-hmm. a lot of Tony's information is very inaccurate and careless.
Yeah. And then it just kind of like perpetuates this. Yes. Yes. Inaccuracy.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite example, back to Annabelle. If you are researching Annabelle for your own content, you'll more than likely go to the NESPR's website, and because that's where the information is now for like your source material. And Tony has put it up that the owners were Donna and Angie. But if you are a huge Warrens fan, or even if you're not a fan and you just wanted to know the original backstory, you would read the book that they published in 1980 called The Demonologist. And that's where the very first account of Annabelle is recorded. And the owners were Deirdre and Laura.
Interesting.
So it
And so it's
bothers
like, why
me.
would they change
Exactly.
it?
And because of Tony being the front man now with all the information, people don't go past him for the information and they continue to perpetuate the misinformation. And the names are the easiest example. It gets a little harder when you get into like the facts of each case because it's all over the place and it's really hard to pinpoint the original origins.
Yeah, interesting. And I wonder why it sounds like they choose the YouTubers that they invite carefully, right?
Oh,
Like they're
yes.
like,
Yes.
these are the ones we want to invite.
And yes, and as far as I know, they are not paying the YouTubers. The YouTubers are paying them.
What?
That's what I've been hearing. I'm doing my best to like get some
What?
solid information on that, but from what I've heard, they are paying Tony Spira to experience the Warren's Museum because it is no longer a public. Like, you can't
Oh,
just go
it's
visit
not. I
it.
didn't know
No,
that.
yeah. A lot of people are learning that through, like, I'm guessing the YouTubers and stuff, because a lot of them will say that it's been closed for zoning issues. And it was closed because, I don't know if you know this or not, but the museum is inside of a house in a
I didn't
neighborhood.
know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So it is not zoned for commercial business use. So you can't have a ton of people parking on the street coming into the museum, paying to come into the museum. So now, Tony is letting people pay to come investigate. That is the
That
hearsay.
sounds illegal.
Right?
Like, because he's still making money off of something that's not zoned to be commercial.
And the private tours, it's just like they're guests in the home, so there's nothing,
Oh, I see.
yeah.
Yeah, I see.
So it's very
Ooh,
interesting
interesting.
that they are paying to perpetuate the stories, and Tony is just eating it up.
See, this is why I'm glad you're telling me all this, because maybe now I can get the courage to watch the movies and just be like, oh, Mars is real.
I've actually
It's
had people tell me since hearing my breakdown that they weren't so scared of it anymore and could watch it and enjoy it as a scary film versus something that might come get them in the night.
fun. Right, exactly.
And that was my biggest thing with scary movies as a kid. Like, that's what got me into it. I was petrified nightly that at every movie I saw, whatever was in that movie was gonna come get me.
100%. That's why I always said, I was like, slasher movies I can handle because you can fight against a serial killer. Someone comes for
Exactly.
you, you have a fighting chance. If a spirit comes for you or a demon comes for you can't kill them,
Yeah, you
you
can't
know?
physically stop their interference of your life.
Yeah, so that's why that freaked me out more. But yeah, I know people have different opinions on that, and people say, "No, what are you talking about? You can't kill Freddy or something like that." So I don't know. That's just my opinion. But fortunately, it's all just stories at the end of the
Exactly.
day.
Yeah. As long as you can see it, in my opinion, you can defend yourself. If you can't see it, you're kind
Yep,
of
exactly.
So, if you could go to any haunted location in the world and stay overnight, would you and where would you go?
Yes, I would. Ooh, where would I go? Oh, that's such a good question.
There are so
I mean,
many
my initial,
places.
yeah, my initial reaction would be something like Dracula's Castle. I don't know, do you remember the show? It was on ABC Family, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was like they would stay in one place overnight for like 1 24 hours, like, and they just had to like get through the night
I
in
want
a
to say
haunted
I do
place.
remember something like that, but I can't remember the specifics.
Yeah, it was called, I don't know, it was like most haunted places in the world or something like that. And I remember that they did one in Dracula's castle and they were all terrified. So I don't know, maybe it would be really scary, but I think that would just be like just a beautiful place to run around.
Right?
Like,
Yeah.
or just like, yeah, maybe I would want to be in like some castle in Ireland or in Scotland. I hear
Yes.
Edinburgh is super haunted, so maybe
Yes.
something like that where it's beautiful and it feels like a little bit more of like a spiritual connection.
Rich
That's
in
what I would
history.
choose.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that answer. I was asked that recently too, and my answer was Lepp Castle in Ireland because Ireland is my favorite place in the world. I
Yeah.
lived there briefly. I've been there so many times. It's my favorite place. It feels like home to me, and I don't even have any Irish in me, I recently learned. So
Oh, yeah. Well, home is what you make it. So agreed. I think yeah. that's great.
And I'm also like a big fan of the idea of past lives. So maybe I was there in a past life.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's why it feels so familiar.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you, though. Somewhere where there's rich history, good scenery, and just something beautiful to stay in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That way it's, you know, kind of like what I was saying. There's the light and the dark. So I'll stay in a haunted place that's full of light.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. I mentioned that. I was recently on Creepy Chisma with Lore. And she asked me, how do you protect yourself when you go to haunted places? And I told her, just, you know, remind yourself you're safe, you're fine, nothing's going to hurt you. And then it occurred to me that was kind of a silly answer because there are places that there are things known to hurt you. So I told her, I said, well, if you're getting scratched or if something is causing you any burning, since, like, if you're being harmed, like, beyond just being poked or touched or pinched, maybe you should leave.
Exactly. No, I 100% agree. And it's like, you know, I do a lot with dogs and animal welfare and things like that. And I foster dogs who, you know, don't come from the best backgrounds. And if they are growling at you, the response is not, oh, let me rub their belly more. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? That's
take the warning. Yes. That,
yeah, give me some space. You say, okay, I understand, and it's like their way of communicating, right? So these exactly. spirits communicate with us 100%. But there is that sanatorium in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm, Waverly
Hills.
It's not
too far from Nashville. Yeah, yeah, it's not too far. And I know that they do overnights. I had thought about it. I wouldn't be opposed to doing that, you know? So maybe that's something like close to home I could like, finally dip my toes in real investigation.
For sure. I mentioned that on Creepy Chisma too, how I would go there. And two reasons I haven't yet are I haven't been able to gather enough people to do the overnight, which was what I would want to do because I want the experiences. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a little apprehensive about some of the experiences you hear about being scarier and on the more unsafe side, feeling unsafe side, where you get scratched or you feel like you hear a growl or something that's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to get all the way there and then scare myself out because the first experience was something like that. So I think that's one of the reasons I haven't been up there yet, but I would definitely love to go.
Yeah, well, let's get a group.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's go.
That would be so much fun.
It would, yeah. Although, like, I haven't really looked at any of the experiences other people had. So maybe now I won't.
Well, the main ones that I've
heard. I'll go into it blind. Yeah.
Yeah, the main ones I've heard of aren't so bad. I've just heard a couple times that there's screams. That was a common one that seems scary. And then I've heard, I don't know how true it is, but I've heard people got scratched in there. But those are the only ones that scared me. The rest sound like they are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. I am pretty much done with questions. I have one left, and it's just, do you have any more stories that stand out to you that you'd like to share?
Yeah. Okay. So another story I have, up on the Capitol, Nashville's Capitol building, there are several tombs up there, and one of the tombs is of Sarah Polk and James Polk, the 11th president and first lady. And we usually get some kind of activity from Sarah up there. So, you know, it's public property. So if anybody, you know, feels like doing some ghost hunting on their own around Nashville, walk up to the top of that Capitol, pay your respects at the tomb, see what happens. Most of the time, people get a whiff of a certain scent, and one of the scents represents Sarah, and one of the scents represents President James Polk. So that's always a fun one, especially for skeptics. You know, we go up there, and I hold my hands out, and say, so you can see I'm not spraying anything. And I've never been on a tour where nobody completely didn't smell anything. At least one person will smell something. When I ask them what they smell, they nail it. So that is a really cool experience for, you know, believers and for skeptics.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that's a cool story. But I'll give you another spooky story about the Capitol. The back side of the Capitol, so the north side, is just creepy, man. Like, it's just weird vibes back there. And I never take my tours down the back side of the Capitol. I always just double back and come down the south side. But it is like, you just get a weird energy. And when I was training, the guy who trained me, like, made me walk down that side, and we had our EMF detectors, and they were like way above. They were like red, going off. And I just felt very uneasy. Like, I felt very uncomfortable. Didn't want to walk down those staircases. And he told me that, like, he had seen stuff back there. And then there was another time where I was at the tomb just talking with my guests, and somebody came up. I think he was probably like an unhoused person, and he was telling us his experiences that he had seen at the tomb, talking about what he had seen around there. And so I just asked him, I said, "What do you think of that side of the hill?" And he goes, "Nope, no way. I hate it over there." He says, "Something weird is going on over there. I try to avoid it if I can."
Wow.
So for whatever reason, that side of the hill just got some weird energy going on around it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I know who's buried over there, but, you know, I don't think he's an evil person. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should probably look up the history of the hill. You know, maybe there was something there before the Capitol.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But it is the highest natural point in Nashville, from what I've heard, in Nashville City proper. So, you know, I'm sure there's some energy going on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know that walk. It's pretty steep. And T-Pac's right there, and I go there a lot. And that walk up from the parking garage is always so steep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I don't know anything about that, like the hill and the uncomfortable feelings. But I feel like, how old was I? I was maybe 18, and my mom booked a ghost tour in Nashville. So this would have been like 2004, 5-ish. And we were up there, and our tour guide told us that. So I guess there's, I could be wrong about this because my memory is very bad, but there's two men buried at the Capitol building, and they were kind of rivals. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah, so, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead. Will you tell me about that, what you know about that?
Yeah, so there are two men buried at the Capitol. It's William Strickland and Samuel Morgan. William Strickland's buried in the north side. Samuel Morgan's buried in the south side. And William Strickland was the chief architect of Nashville, and Samuel Morgan was the commissioner for the Capitol building.
Okay.
And so they're buried in the walls. And if you go up the steps to the Capitol, you can see their great mausoleums.
Wow.
It's really spooky. But it's the only U.S. Capitol that's also a mausoleum.
That's crazy. See, I've been up there, but I forgot things like that. Like, I knew there were people buried in the location, but I didn't realize it was so much in the location.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Have you heard then the story of them, of the people who've caught EVPs of them arguing at nighttime?
Yes, I have heard about that. And people will just hear them when they're out at night walking around Nashville. And they'll call the police. So this is one of the stories I tell on my ghost tour, is that the police have gotten calls so often to go investigate these two men fighting on the Capitol that they created their own dispatch code.
Oh, my gosh.
So they plug it in. It's domestic on the Capitol. They go up there, and they usually don't see anybody.
That's incredible. I was wondering if I remembered that correctly, because it's been so long, but I love that. That is so funny. I've always wanted
to. You're 100% right.
That's so cool. I've always wanted to go up there and just hang out. And every time I'm up there, I'm always with people that aren't down with it. They're kind of scared, I guess. And they're like, "No, we're not going to go do that." But I would love to go just hang out, because our tour guide at the time said between 9 and 9:30 was the best time to catch them. And then, of course, anytime after that, when the, like, I guess when they're suddenly active, I'm not really sure. And she also told us, if you take a disposable flash camera and just snap pictures, you'll get like little light orbs out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've gotten guests show me pictures with orbs, and I can send you some of those too.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It is just a really cool, and it's pretty well lit. I always joke, you know, I'm more afraid of alive people than dead people.
Yes.
So I always try and be really cautious, you know, when I do these tours and things like that, or just do any of these on like investigations or hanging out somewhere. But it's pretty well lit. But yes, take a camera, take a lot of pictures, and just hang out, especially near the tomb of Sarah and James. Like I said, always get some kind of activity over there. And I think that they like the company. So
yeah,
kind of a good little place to hang out. But then further than that is where it gets spooky.
For sure. Yeah, no, I love that. I'm so glad that I remembered to ask you that.
Yeah, no, you had a really good, you remembered it really well.
I'm so glad too, because I've been thinking about it and I keep meaning to look it up and I keep meaning to like see if there's any tours that covered it, and I always space it. And so I'm glad I remembered today, because that's been one of the stories I've remembered for that long that I've wanted to look more into but never taken the time to. So I'm glad I got to talk to you about it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I have one question. I lied before. My last question for you is my favorite question. What are your future plans as a paranormal enthusiast and experienced ghost tour guide?
That is a great question. Well, I would like to hopefully one day start my own ghost tour guide business and offer different theme tours, you know, so not just the general history of Nashville, but maybe like the country music ghosts of Nashville, or, you know, there's a lot of history of like sex work and prostitution.
Yeah.
So
Printer's Alley.
That,
yeah,
exactly. Printer's Alley, all over there. So, you know, just have a little bit more control over the tours that I offer. So that's kind of what I hope for in the future. But other than that, my plan is just to keep learning the stories, you know, keep hearing about all the unknown, creepy, cool stuff around us.
I love it.
So yeah, that's the plan moving forward.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on my show and telling your stories and talking with me about all the stuff that's so cool in Nashville. I love that.
Thank you. No, this was super fun. Like I said, just like feels like I'm getting to talk about all the cool, creepy stuff that's so fun and interesting. So this was a really good time. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, do you have any social medias you like to share for people to follow you and find you?
I do. Yep. It's a goofy Instagram name. but if you want to follow me, it's _BIGG_T. So _big_T. It is a notorious BIG reference.
I love it. That's awesome. I love that you still have that handle and you haven't changed it.
You know, I know. Every once in a while it crosses my mind, like, you know, maybe I should update this from college. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. So, big T, my name is Tori. But yeah, that's how people can get a hold of me.
That's awesome. And I'm so excited to share those pictures. I'll put them all up on the Instagram and everyone will get a chance to see. And I'm going to put this out a little closer to Halloween, so it's a little more towards spooky time.
Oh, yay. Awesome. I can't wait to hear it. I'm so excited.
Yay.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was super fun.
Yes,
I had a really
was.
Good time.
I'm so excited because the listeners are going to love the crap out of this.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. All right, Stevie. Have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so, so much to Tori for coming on the show. I had so much fun hearing all your stories, and I cannot wait until you have your ghost tour company going so I can come take all your tours. Thank you again so much. Don't forget to follow the social medias. I'll link them in the show notes, and you can also search Truth or Demons podcast on all platforms. Instagram is still where I post the most, and I will definitely put up Tori's pictures and some more of Haunted Nashville for you all to see. Until next time. Hello everyone! Are you ready to embark on a magical journey into the world of nature's treasures? Look no further than Into the Woods Stones and Crystals. Discover the enchanting collection of stones and crystals that will ignite your spirit and elevate your well-being. At Into the Woods Stones and Crystals, they offer a treasure trove of Mother Earth's finest gems, all carefully handpicked to bring you positive energy and healing vibrations. Whether you're a seasoned crystal enthusiast or just beginning your crystal journey, they've got something for everyone. From amethyst to quartz, citrine to obsidian, each crystal is a unique masterpiece waiting to enhance your life. And if you listened to my interview on Creepy Chisma, you know how much I love obsidian. But that's not all. When you shop with them, you're not just buying crystals, you're investing in a deeper connection with nature. Their crystals are ethically sourced and sustainably harvested, ensuring they protect the earth as they share its precious gifts. And here's a special treat for you listeners. Use code TRUTHORDEMONS, all one word, at checkout to enjoy an exclusive discount on your purchase. Ready to bring a touch of magic into your life? Visit their website, into-the-woods-stones.myshopify.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. Explore their exquisite collection and don't forget to follow them on social media for updates, special offers, and crystal wisdom. I will put all links in the show notes. Into the Woods Stones and Crystals, where the magic of nature meets the power of your spirit. Shop now, enter Truth or Demons at checkout, and let the journey begin.